Let me just pray and ask for God's blessing on his word as we continue in the series, as Dave mentioned, in the healing power of Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you this evening again, asking you please to help us to hear what you're saying to us, please. But Lord, it's more than just hearing in this series. It's also, Lord God, about speaking out what you say. It's about being obedient to the promptings of the Spirit of God as we look to him to move among us and to minister to people tonight and meet people in their own particular and individual need. We ask, Lord, that your word would do its work tonight in each of our lives, and we pray that the power of the Spirit of the living God would come down and take a hold of us all and make your word, Lord God, go into the very depths of our being and produce, Lord God, fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading tonight from Mark chapter 6, near the end, starting from verse 53 of Mark chapter 6. And it says this: when they had crossed over, and this is speaking about Jesus and his disciples, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized Jesus, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. As many as touched him were made well. And the context again, let me just make this clear, is Jesus had just before been preaching to a massive crowd of people who had followed him for a number of days. And he ended his whole discourse by feeding with 5 loaves and 2 small fish well over 5,000 people. We know that there were 5,000 men there, but there were women there as well, and kids were there as well. So well over 5,000 people had been fed by Jesus with 5 loaves and a couple of fish. And his disciples then, having done that, they get into a boat to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And no sooner had they landed and they got out of the boat that the people who were there, probably some fishermen on the shore, immediately recognized Jesus. And they ran throughout the entire region telling people to bring their sick out to Jesus. And you could nearly see all these people with stretchers and throw out your dead. It was like, you know, throw out your sick. Bring them to Jesus because he's here in our region. Bring them out that he might just touch them, or that they begged that they might just touch him or the hem of his garment. And we're told, and as many as touched him were made whole. It doesn't say some. It says as many as touched Jesus were made whole. They were made perfectly whole, or made well. As it says, it wasn't just about a healing of a body. It says they were made perfectly whole. Over the last number of Sunday evenings, we've looked at some of the amazing works, or the miraculous healings performed by Jesus. We've looked at skin diseases that were cleansed. And Keith, I think it was, spoke on the leper who came to Jesus with such a hideous type of skin disease that it didn't require curing. It required cleansing. And only Jesus could do that. We looked at paralytics, or cripples. And whenever I used to read this, I used to think it was paralytics. People who were full coming to Jesus to get healed. But it's paralytics, or cripples who were healed. And so we saw the man whose friends had such faith that they actually lowered him. They ripped a person's roof off to lower Jesus, to lower their friend down to Jesus, down through the roof. And of course, the other crippled man was the man at the pool of Bethesda, who had no one when the waters were stirred. They had no one to put him into the waters. And every time he tried to get there, somebody else had got into the pool and was healed. We looked at a man who received his sight. And Jesus asked him, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" You'd think Jesus would have known. He's blind, Jesus. Try and work it out. But Jesus needed to hear from that man what it is that you want me to do. And when that man says, "Lord, I want to see," it was also saying, "I have the faith to believe that you can do this." We looked at the blood disorder that was cured. A woman who had tried everything, who had spent all of her money running to and fro to different physicians and couldn't get any result, she finally came to Jesus and she just touched the hem of his garment. And she was healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" In the middle of a crowd that was thronging around him, pressing in on him, Jesus knew that someone touched him in faith because power left him. And she was healed. And we heard how, you know, she was just somebody in the crowd who became a somebody. She was a woman in the crowd who became a somebody. "Somebody touched me," Jesus said. And from a person in the crowd, a woman in the crowd, to a somebody, she became a daughter. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." We heard of deliverance from demons. The Syrophoenician woman who came to ask Jesus to heal her daughter. Her daughter was demon possessed. And she came looking even for a crumb from Jesus. Just the slightest wee thing from Jesus. When Jesus tried in that sense to put her off. And he wasn't calling her a dog. But he says, "Look, I've come first to feed the children of Israel. And it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs." And she knew that Jesus wasn't insulting her, but what she said, "Yes, but Master, even, Lord, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. I'll take a crumb, Jesus. Please heal my daughter." And Jesus was so amazed at her faith, he says, "Your daughter is healed. Go away on home." And then we heard of resurrections from the dead. We all, when we think of resurrection from the dead, we all think of Lazarus, who was dead 4 days and was stinking in the tomb. And Jesus says, "Open up the tomb," and he commanded Lazarus, "Come forth." And Lazarus came out and he said, "Take off the grave clothes." And the problem too for many Christians is Jesus has said to us, "Come out of the tomb." We just haven't taken off the grave clothes. We still run about with the worldly attire. We heard of Eutychus, who fell asleep because Paul spoke for so long that he was sitting in the window ledge and fell asleep and fell out the window and cracked his head at the bottom and he was dead. And Paul went down and lay upon him and prayed for him and he came back to life. We heard also about Jairus' daughter, a young girl who had died. And Jairus had gone seeking out Jesus, the ruler of the Jews, a man of status, a man who had to swallow his pride and come to Jesus, a man who knew that he was going to be scorned for coming to Jesus, knew, "You know what, my daughter's life is more important than what people think of me." And he came to Jesus and says, "Will you please come and heal my daughter?" And as Jesus was on his way, that woman with the blood disorder stopped things for a moment. And she got healed. And while that was happening, two men came to Jairus and says, "Listen, don't be bothering Jesus any longer because your daughter's dead." Imagine what he must have thought in that moment. But Jesus knew. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And Jesus went into the house where there were mourners all there waiting for the bunwurry, as they call it in Northern Ireland, for the wake. And Jesus says, "What are you doing? What are you gurning about? She's not dead, she's asleep." And they laughed at Jesus. And he took a couple of the disciples and the mum and the dad up to the room and said, "Little girl, arise." And she came back to life. And he said, "Give her something to eat." They're incredible miracles. that we've read about incredible healings, powerful, miraculous works of Jesus. Think how different things might be if these amazing works, if these miracles of Jesus had occurred from the first night we started our series on the healing power of Jesus. Shiloh would probably be known as a disease-free, disability-free zone. You know, our Shiloh at 6:30 service would be a bit like the Bethesda pool, where multitudes of disabled people would be in the car park, all sort of grappling to try to get in. And the wheelchairs would be getting through away, and the crutches through away, and people would be leaving the building, hallelujah, up and down the Skipperstone Road. The local or regional media would be outside, or maybe we would permit them to come in to film the events as they unfold. In fact, Shiloh members would probably be the healthiest people on the planet. For as many as touched Jesus were made perfectly whole. But what actually has happened in Shiloh since we started this series 9 weeks ago or so? What actually has taken place? I don't know if you've reflected at all on what has taken place, but it's very interesting. Chronic back, neck, and stomach pains have been healed like that. Skin growths have reduced and are disappearing. Blood pressure problems for people have normalized. Three seriously ill people, two of which were in the intensive care unit, thought were going to die, are now all out of hospital and making progress. In fact, one of the people who was in hospital was here this morning. Various individuals have spoken about being overwhelmed during these meetings with a deep sense of peace. Some have felt a strong conviction and the need to repent. Others have received clarity about decisions that they need to make for their lives. Other people have heard the Lord speak clearly and directly into their lives. People have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit and to be bold in speaking out. Some have confidently spoken out or ministered to or with others. And there's been a real buzz of excitement about the meetings. We were even saying that at the wee early prayer meeting tonight, just how wonderful the meetings have been. The list could probably be added to. But I was thinking about the skeptics. What might the skeptics say? Well, it's not the same as the amazing works or the miraculous healings performed by Jesus. You know, for example, like, where's the as many as touched him were made perfectly whole miracles? You know, before the series began, people in Shiloh were asked to stand up, all who were sick. 75% of the congregation stood up. Now, have all Shiloh's sick and disabled been healed? See, this is the skeptic speaking out. Where are the powerful healings? Where are the sights restored, the diseases cleansed and healed, the oppressed set free, or even, where's the resurrections from the dead? Well, thank God we haven't got anybody died yet. Although when I look down here, from sometimes I wonder. You know, did Jesus not turn up as promised? Or, you know, has he lost his touch over the last 2,000 years? Or, you know, was there too much unbelief in Shiloh to prevent real miracles from happening? Were people maybe too unholy? See that crowd, Shiloh, they're too unholy. Or did they not have enough faith to be healed? You see, the skeptic can say what the skeptic wants. But we are people of one book, the Bible. And all of these questions and all of these observations point the people of one book point us directly to Jesus. And we say this: we believe that you are still Lord of all, that you are God in control. You are Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And although we may not fully understand your ways, we will trust in you. Yes, of course, we want to see amazing, miraculous healings performed by Jesus here and in our communities. But we're thankful for what we have and what we shall receive. As the Lord spoke through the prophet Zechariah of Zerubbabel rebuilding the temple, he said, "Do not despise the day of small things." So we too should rejoice that these good things have begun in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. And I believe, and I don't know about you, but I believe greater is still to come. We need to draw near to Jesus and keep drawing near to him. As the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, "Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart." You see, we need to bring and keep on bringing our loved ones to Jesus, whether that is in prayer or inviting them to the meetings or whatever. We need to keep bringing them to Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit's help, they with the eye of faith would see Jesus and reach out to him, and as many as touch him will be made perfectly whole. You see, during this series, the Lord has blessed us in many ways. And I believe he has much, much more that he wants to do in us and through us. So let's not despise the day of small things. But let's give thanks to Jesus for his blessings and keep drawing near to him for much, much more. Remember, Christian, ours is not to reason why. Why does God do this and not do that? Ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to do and die. To keep on doing, serving the Lord and dying to our fleshy, sinful, worldly ways, so that his ways are manifested in us and by us. The Lord is still at work. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We may not see the car park full of people with the stretchers bringing out their sick, or the disabled clamoring to get through the doors in the hope of being healed. But nonetheless, Jesus is here. And Jesus will do what Jesus has planned to do. And so again this evening, as we take some time to totally wait on the Spirit of God and see what he wants to do, we've got to be open again to listen to what he is saying and have the boldness to speak out. It's nearly every Wednesday night, not all, but nearly every Wednesday night, the follow-ups to the Sunday nights, someone says, "I was going to say on Sunday night, but I didn't." None of that tonight. Say it out. Say it out and see what God does. The Holy Spirit is here. He wants to move among us. Let's see if he will do things differently again this evening as we wait upon him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God, that when people came to Jesus and reached out in faith, believing that he could heal them, they were healed. Even some, Lord God, who didn't believe were brought by others who believed that Jesus could do something. And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Tonight, Lord Jesus, we know that you are here in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And as we take time now, Lord, to wait upon you, we ask that you would give us the confidence, the boldness, the ability to hear your voice, to obey your voice, and to do and say the things that you give us to do and to say. Lord, we love you. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means, Lord God, that you are the same tonight. Move in the power of your Spirit among us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, everyone, what we'll do again is just be open to be led by the Spirit. Don't be afraid of silence, but at the same time, if God gives you something to say. But I just want to say something that I read during the week, and it really blessed me. And it was this. The most miserable, miserable Christians are those who focus on their own problems.
Yeah.
Those who know most of the leading of the Spirit are those who focus on God. Mm-hmm. So our aim tonight is to ask the Spirit of God to get our eyes fixed on the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he wants to do. Miserable Christians are those who concentrate on their own problems, their own issues. Those who focus on the Lord receive the blessing. Let's just wait on the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid if there's a silence. Don't be afraid to speak out or to read out and to explain why you're reading something, why God has given you that, or why you believe God has given you it. Whatever, please be open to the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just give this time over to you now, that you take the lead, that you take up the reins of the meeting and lead us in the way that you want us to go. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I truly believe that God gave me this during the week through the power of the Spirit, and it starts off from Jesus, for he gives us assurances and commands, and he says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he also will do greater works than these. He will do greater works than these because I go to the Father. It can't be stated more plainly. Those who believe in him will demonstrate signs and wonders. But even more so, his declaration implies that those who believe will walk in the same kind of relationship with the Father and possess the same anointing of the Spirit that he did. That is where we are called to minister, as Jesus ministered, because through his death and resurrection we have access to everything he had available to him to do good works. He prophesied this to the disciples and told to us when he said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. We as sons and daughters of God are destined to reveal our Father to the world by bringing his likeness. We do this as Christ did, by communing with the Father, walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth through demonstrations of the power and authority, all in the context of showing that God is love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was led to these words this morning for comfort. Every moment of the life of my glorious presence to those whose hearts are intimately connected with mine, as you give yourself more and more to a life of constant communion with me, you will find that you are simply made to have no time to worry. Thus you are free to let my Spirit direct steps, enabling you to walk along the path of peace.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, through Christ his Son,
mm-hmm.
and communion with Satan. Thank you.
We ask you, Spirit of God, to continue to prompt people. Speak into people's hearts and minds, Lord, and give them the confidence and the boldness to speak out. Do what you want to do tonight in this place, Lord, please. Thank you.
Again, rejoice in power. When you begin the day with inadequate resources, you must concentrate your efforts on the present moment. This is where you are meant to be live, in the present. It is the place where I always wait for you. Awareness of your inadequacy is a rich blessing, training you to rely wholeheartedly on me. Rejoice knowing that my power is made perfect in your weakness.
People of Sharon, I have said to you that I have much for you to do for my kingdom, and that by the work of the Holy Spirit and your willingness to please me,
mm-hmm.
you will do many things, great things for my kingdom. And so I say to you, listen to what is being said, take it into your spirit,
mm-hmm.
and learn of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because of Jesus, my Son, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness.
Oh,
I will lead you in the paths of righteousness. And be it unto you as I have said. And remember what I said.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus and his righteousness.
Yes.
Lord, help us to run the race that you have set before us, Lord,
mm-hmm.
with hope in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from you, Lord. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Mm-hmm.
So help us, Lord, to cling to you.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Obviously the Spirit of God is prompting people and speaking to people. Again, we can only urge that you take that step to speak out as people have been. And it's just wonderful, one listening to what he's doing, to just being here as the Spirit of God is moving. Continue, Lord, please. Touch people's lives with your power right now.
Yes.
Let power from on high
mm-hmm.
come upon people right now, Lord, touching lives, bringing healing in God, please, bringing deliverance, Lord, please, setting people free, Lord, please, bringing words of encouragement, Lord God, bringing loving rebuke, bringing what is needed, Lord, come in great power again tonight in this place. And minister, Lord God, to us, because we have come to meet with Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, thank you. Hallelujah.
Father, I give thanks to the people, as Keith preached this morning. I give thanks to the blessing for the people here on that mountain top and receiving the blessing and life abundantly. But Father, I also ask that by power of your Spirit that is present with us now, that you would continue to walk alongside, be with, and bless those who have been through the desert. The desert is a very, very lonely place, Father. It's a lonely place, and we do succumb to temptation. So Father, for anyone who's struggling here tonight, that feels that they cannot handle it and they keep continuing to come to temptation, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that that temptation is removed and they're delivered from it, whatever it may be. And from their innermost being, they would feel at peace and an awareness that you, the Holy Spirit, are walking with them and will never leave them. And I ask that you would counsel them inwardly, in their inner mind, for the battlefield is in the mind. It's between the enemy and it's between your spirit. But Lord, you are in us and you will live. We are on the road to victory. There will always be occasions where the temptation will come in. So I ask, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by your power, by your spirit, by your power, that you would counsel those who are walking through the desert at this time, whatever it may be, whatever their affliction may be, whatever their minds, going through their minds, just comfort them and let them know in a small way, Father, that your Spirit is with them and never leave them. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray in your precious name, Lord, that people, Lord, who are suffering at the moment, Lord, through all different situations, Lord, draw them into you, Lord. Lord, for your righteousness, Lord. Lord, you give them comfort, Lord. But just please, dear Lord, guide them and lead them, Lord. Lord, it's not easy for folk, Lord, to be if they wander off or go wrong in life. None of us know when that moment in time ever happens. But you know everything about each of us, Lord. You know who's sitting here tonight, Lord. And Lord, I've just got it on my heart, Lord, to pray for those, Lord, who need you the most, Lord. To speak into their lives, Lord, and draw them back to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you do this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, and asking, Lord, for certain things, Lord. Lord, you answer every prayer. And we thank you for prayers that are unanswered because you did it in your timing, Lord. So Lord, please draw those back to you, Lord. Those that need you in their lives before their sandwich of cost. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Amen.
Something I'm just feeling prompted to do is following on there and just also with what Billy said and Shirley's prayers. If there's anybody here tonight who feels, and we don't know your business, but if you feel that you're in that wilderness place or desert place, or, you know, place where it's, your whole Christian life feels like it's dry and it's barren, then I would ask you this evening, just if you have the confidence to stand up and we'll pray for you and with you, that the Lord will bless you at this time. So if there's anybody that feels that that's speaking to them, please, if you've got the confidence to do so, please stand up. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
people just go beside those who are standing and just, if you just put your hand on their shoulder or whatever, and then I'll pray a general prayer, and then you can pray specifically this person. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you again, Lord God, thanking you that the Spirit of God is at work in this place tonight, speaking into people's lives, Lord God, speaking directly, Lord God, into souls, wanting, Lord God, to minister to people in different ways tonight. And one of the ways, Lord God, that has been prompted to be spoken out is the whole idea of being in a wilderness, barren place, Lord God, a dry place, Lord. And Father, we pray for those who have stood up, Lord God, and said, that's where I'm at, and that's how I feel. But Lord, we remind ourselves this evening what was preached this morning, that if you as a Christian are in a barren place, if you're in a wilderness, it is because the Spirit of God has led you there. Mm-hmm. Because it is in the wilderness that he is testing you, and it is in the wilderness that he wants to speak to you. And that as he has led you into the wilderness, so he is with you in that place, and he will bring you out in his time. But Lord, we pray for those who have stood up, that you would draw near to them, and that you would let power from on high fall upon them right now, Lord God, and just give them the reassurance that you are with them, and that you know where they're at, Lord God, that it hasn't been a mistake, that you haven't forgotten them, you haven't abandoned them, you know where they are at because you have brought them that, to that place, that you might teach them, that you might speak to them, and that you, Lord God, will bring them out. So Lord, let that assurance rest upon those who have stood. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Others just around, just want to pray for those who stood, you know, do so quietly as yourself. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Oh, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.